before we pray. I tell you what, go ahead and turn to James chapter 1. That's going to be where we begin. It's not our main scripture today, but James chapter 1. You all are familiar with the word, you know, enough to know that the word of God is called seed, that there are parables about the seed being sown, and the word of God is powerful, but it's like seed that the Bible says it's engrafted into our spirit, into our heart, and it grows and it produces a fruit in our lives. It produces a harvest. How many of you, and you can raise your hands if you want to. If you can't raise your hand on this, don't feel bad. It all depends on where you are in your walk with the Lord. But how many of you know that God has spoken to you before through the Word or through the preached Word or to your heart, but it's been the Word of God to you? Amen? Just raise your hands. How many of you know that God spoke to you Wednesday or Thursday night or both, that He spoke to your heart in some way and encouraged you individually? How many of you know that Wednesday or Thursday night He spoke to this congregation corporately and spoke words that were for us? Amen? Now, what do you do with that? Because I'll ask you another question. How many of you have ever known that you received a word from the Lord and it had something to do with a direction in your life or with overcoming something or with waiting upon something or acting, something that had to do with change in your life? And you received a word from the Lord, and it was like it was so powerful. You received it warmly, gladly, and it just touched your heart. And you walked out of church that Sunday, perhaps, and you said, oh, this is life-changing. And 3 days later, it was sitting on a shelf somewhere, and it was like it never had been spoken. It was like you kind of walked away and forgot it. Now, I don't mean that condemningly. We've all done it. I've done it many times, that God has spoken something and He speaks expecting us to grab hold of it and to walk in it, and we grab it very tightly at first, and then other things cause us to release our grip upon it and to soon forget about it, and then we find ourselves in the place again where He needs to speak to us again concerning that same thing. Amen? Have you been there? Oh, you're not quite as quick to say amen. Come on, let's be honest, okay? So if you received something Wednesday and Thursday night, and if this church received something Wednesday and Thursday night, what do you do? The title of this message is, after you have received seed. After you have received seed. What do you do? How? This is going to end up being an extremely practical message. It's very simple. Very simple. But I want to take you through a couple of things in the Word of God, and I want to take you to a place where I can actually show you so that it's something that you can grab hold to and walk in. Amen? So what do you do when God sends a messenger and you know that He didn't know the details of your own life? And yet there He is speaking, and it's like He's reading your mail, and God is speaking to you, and He's giving you a word from the throne of God. There was a lot of seed scattered. The sower goes forth and he scatters seed, amen, and scatters much seed in hopes of producing a harvest. And there was a lot of seed that was scattered upon the soil here at Faith Harvest this week. A woman, some of you have recently been through this, a woman conceives. She receives seed, and she conceives, and there's this thing that God is doing that is growing and developing within her. There's a time of birth. There's a time of bringing forth that thing that God is creating. Now, I want to ask you something this morning, and it's so simple, but I could ask Rachel, and I could ask Sheena or any of a number of you, that when you conceived and you knew that that life was growing within you, and you knew, say the week that you found out that you were carrying a child, you knew that there was a pregnancy there, that you were pregnant, how many of you just received that seed and became aware of it and then walked away and just went about life as usual and just continued to act as though there was no change in your life? No, each one of you nurtured that child. You nurtured that unborn life. You gave it the nourishment that it needed. You thought about it. You were aware almost all the time. You were aware that there was a presence there. You were aware that there was something that was taking place that was being formed within you. A farmer goes out to the field and he plants lots of seed. He scatters a lot of seed with the hope of producing a harvest. But he doesn't go out and just plant that seed and leave that seed alone, does he? Not a good farmer. A good farmer goes out and he plants that seed, and then he watches that seed. He, if he is a believer, he prays for rain. He waits for the rain to come. The seed is watered. If there is no rain and he has the ability, then he irrigates the soil so that there is water for the seed. He fertilizes it. Even before it begins to sprout, he has applied fertilizer to the soil. And when he sees weeds begin to come up and to choke that fresh seed and that new plant that's coming up, he begins to do whatever is necessary to remove those weeds. He is always, listen to me, he is always aware that there is seed there. Amen? The woman is always aware that there's a conception, that there is an unborn life there, that she has received seed. The farmer goes to bed at night and he thinks upon and is aware that he has multitude of seed out in the field and that everything in his life depends upon that crop coming up and being a good crop and producing a harvest so that he will have income to live on the next year. Now, James 1:22. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Now, this isn't just about doing this morning. You'll understand this in a moment. Because sometimes God gives you a word that requires an immediate action. How many of you remember Wednesday night when he talked about how we need to be vocal and affirm what's taking place in here? We need to express that affirmation. We need to speak out in the service, whether it's to say hallelujah or whatever, to begin it by faith. To speak and not just stand there and to affirm what God's doing, that excitement that comes as you begin to speak forth what you're believing by faith. Well, there's some things like that that you need to do immediately. It doesn't require a lot of thinking about it. There are things that God speaks that we are to be doers of the word. But there are also things that God speaks that have to do with time. And if you remember, I'm not preaching the same message, but if you remember Thursday night, when he gave us the process between ask and receive. That we ask and we expect to receive, but sometimes there's a long process between those two. And what an encouragement that was for this congregation and for this body of believers. But likewise, sometimes here, this is the same concept this morning, that there's a process when you have received seed. See, it's not just about, this isn't just about asking and receiving. This is about when you have heard from God, you have received a word from God that requires some action, whether it's today or down the road, or it requires some growth in your life, it requires a maturing in some area of your life, and you know that you've heard God, and you've already raised your hands. You know that you've heard God many times. You know that you heard God Wednesday and Thursday night speak clearly to us, and there were some of you that received things that were individual to you, not just about this church, but to help you in your walk with the Lord. So God spoke, and he wants that seed to bring forth a harvest in your life. But there is also a process here. How does that seed bring forth fruit in your life? How do you avoid what I asked you about in the beginning, that syndrome that we fall into where we hear the word and then we walk away? Look at this, what this passage of Scripture says here in verse 22 again. "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." You look in the mirror. Now, I know some of us perhaps are more vain than that. We look in the mirror and we can remember what we look like all day. But what he is talking about in the time of Christ, a mirror was a polished piece of metal. It was not a very clear, distinct image. And so you had to look really hard even to see what you looked like. And you look into the mirror and then you walk away and you don't remember every detail. You don't know exactly what you look like to someone else. But when you were looking, you were getting a glimpse. And when God was speaking to you this week, or last Sunday, or the week before, there was a revelation of Christ. There was something that was being opened up to your heart, and it was so real in the moment, and you walked out of here on the mountaintop. You walked out of here. I've talked with some of you. For 2 days, you were so excited, and you were like, I just cannot believe this. This is so awesome, what God has spoken, what God has done. But if we don't understand what I'm going to share with you this morning, and we have all fallen into this, you will walk away. You know, there are mountaintop experiences and there are valleys in our lives. But the valley is not supposed to rob you of the seed. When you go up on the mountaintop and you receive seed from God, He speaks to you. Something is beginning to be birthed within you. And then you come down off of the mountaintop, you are still carrying that seed, and there's a process, and there's something that's supposed to happen in order for it to be nourished and to grow. Don't forget what was spoken to you Wednesday and Thursday night. Those of you who were not here, the principle is the same. For everything God has shown you, and you knew clearly that He was speaking to your heart, you don't want to be robbed of what He wants to produce in you through that. Amen? So how do we prevent that? Now, James is one of the most practical books in the New Testament. He talks about practical things. And here he says, just be a doer, not a hearer, but he doesn't tell you how. He doesn't go into the details of how do you keep that seed and allow it to grow and not forget what God has said to you. Now, if you receive this Word and you're grounded in the Word, you understand that it's living. Amen? The Word of God is living and it's powerful. It is the living Word of Christ, and it is supernatural, and it will produce something in your life when it is received and when we understand what God wants to do in us. I'm going to take us around a circle now to kind of bring us back to this. In the Word of God, when people encountered Christ, you know this. They encountered Christ. They were also encountering the living Word. Everything that He did, everything that He said, everything that He revealed was the Word of God. The Bible says that He is the Word made flesh. He is the Word of God in flesh. And that's what we mean when we speak of the incarnation. And everywhere that God went in Christ, everywhere that Christ went as the living Word, and people encountered Him. Now listen, because some of you encountered Christ Wednesday and Thursday night. Some of you have encountered Christ in the Word of God, in messages in the past, and in your private devotions, in your time in prayer with the Lord. Now what happened when people encountered Jesus in the New Testament? As He came into a village or into a town, and we have story after story after story of the things that He did and the things that happened. I want to say to you this morning that except for those Pharisees and the Sadducees whose hearts were hardened, everyone who came and had an encounter with Christ, it truly was an encounter, and they went away with something. They went away. They didn't go away the same. They went away and there was a change. There was a response. When you encounter the living Christ, a response is required. There is a corresponding change in your life. And so if we remember, I tell you what, turn back to John chapter 4. Just briefly camp there for a moment. John chapter 4. Jesus has just met the woman at the well, and in that story, if you remember, he reveals her own details of her private life to her. He speaks supernaturally and says, I know that the one that you're living with is not your husband. You've had many others before him, and this one's not even your husband that you're living with. And she knows this is a man, this is at least a prophet sent from God, and she runs. She leaves her water pot at the well, and she runs into the village, and she tells people, look at verse 27. And at this point, His disciples came, and they marveled that He talked with a woman. You have to understand, it was against the culture of that day to speak to a woman in public, but not for Jesus. What do you see? Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Now hear me on this before we move on. Before this woman ever knew for certain that this was the Messiah, when she just believed that He might be and prayed that He could be or would be, she knew that she had encountered God. She knew that she had encountered, there was a supernatural encounter, so much so that she left her water pot. That represents everything that you've tried to do She came to the well looking for natural water, and he began to talk to her about living water. So she left the old, and she ran, and what was the first response was she began to tell people. She began to go back and act upon what had been spoken to her and bring others back to him. And so there was this joy that rose up within her. Turn to Mark chapter 4. And this is our main passage of Scripture this morning. Mark chapter 4. I want to show you a principle in the Word of God, or concept, if you will, that I think we overlook very often, and it's going to help you retain the seed that you have received and water that seed and see it bring forth a fruit and a harvest in your life. Is that what you want? Mark chapter 4. You are all familiar with this parable. There's something in it that I want to lift out and show you, to show you where now you are in your walk with the Lord. He has already told the parable of the sower, and most of you have heard this. I'm not going to read it. It's in 4 verse 3 through 9, because in the interpretation, he speaks of what each element is again, so we don't need to go back. So in verse 13, and he said to them, do you understand this parable? How then will you understand, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? In other words, this is the key to understanding all the parables of Jesus. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. So the sower who goes out to plant the seed, he's sowing the word of God. And these are the ones by the wayside. Remember, some fell by the wayside, some fell on rocky soil, some fell in thorny places, and some fell in good soil. So let's look at that for a moment. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Now let yourself fall into a category here this morning as we read. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, I want you to look at that passage right there, verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. How many of you want to be good soil? Okay? Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. And you say, that still doesn't tell me the how. Well, I think the how is found back in a previous verse that we'll go back to in a moment. But let's just go over these real quickly. The wayside, Jesus said, was where the seed fell by the wayside. And in Matthew, when we read this same parable, in Matthew, Jesus says that those are the ones who didn't understand it. For whatever reason, church, I don't understand. I can't tell you why. Some people can sit in the house of God week after week after week, and someone sitting in row 4 on the left-hand side can be just absolutely, the heavens are opening to them, and they're getting a revelation of Christ, and they're saying, God is speaking to me, and their life is being totally changed. Whereas somebody in row 6 on the right-hand side, perhaps, is sitting there, and their ears are stopped, and their eyes are blind week after week after week. And I would at least graciously say that perhaps they are not seeking, or perhaps they have put up a wall, or perhaps it's just not the timing of God, and next week God's going to get hold of them. Whatever it is in His sovereignty, I don't entirely understand. But some do not understand. And some do not have that revelation immediately and see what God is saying to them. And so Jesus says they don't understand it. And immediately when that seed falls on that soil, Satan comes and just takes it away. He's a deceiver. He lies to them. Maybe you've sat and you have listened to the Word of God, and every time you hear God begin to speak and to tug at your heart, there's another voice that says, oh, don't worry about that right now. You've got plenty of time. Or God begins to speak to your heart and you begin to hear that little voice within you say, well, that's not about you. And you begin to justify all the things in your life to explain why you can continue the way you are, whereas someone else is sitting there saying, God, I surrender. Do a work in my life. I want everything that you have for me. And so there are these that the seed falls on the wayside. Those are the ones we lift up in prayer meeting. Those are the ones that you get before God alone and you say, God, deal with this person's heart because out of love you're going before the throne of God for them. And then he speaks of the stony ground. And we're going to only just touch on it for a second because we're going to come back to it. This is our key verse. I want you to understand this morning that probably you have read this verse or heard it preached many times. And you think that because the seed fell on stony ground that it represents a hard heart. No. The wayside represents the hard heart. The wayside represents the one who's blind. The wayside represents the one who will not receive at this time or cannot receive at this time. The stony ground is given to us as a picture, and we will find that the stone is not the key word or the key element in this particular type of ground. We'll come back to that. The seed fell also on thorny ground. Some of you have had this happen, and it relates also to what we're talking about today. The seed falls on the soil of your heart, and you receive it, but then the cares of this life, Jesus said, and the love of riches, and the love of other things begin to crowd in and to choke it so that it does not bear fruit in your life. And some of you wonder why it's not working in your own life when you're charmed by so many things other than Christ, and you love the things of the world more than you do the things of God. It chokes the word so that there's no harvest in your life. And then lastly, we've already spoken of the good ground that brings forth much fruit. Now we're going to come back to verses 16 and 17. But I want to just take for a moment and talk about the power of the seed. How many of you truly believe that there is power in the Word of God? How many of you know that it's not like picking up a self-help book and reading 12 steps on how to get better? It's a totally different thing when you pick up the Word of God and you approach it as a believer and you approach it as one who has faith that it is the living Word of God. It is like dynamite. It has power to change. It has power to totally rearrange every atom of your being. It has power to work in your life. As God begins to speak to you and you trust Him and you believe Him, there is nothing, listen to me, because perhaps there's someone in here this morning without hope. Or there's someone in here who's up against a difficult circumstance. The power of God is able, first of all, to sustain you. Because just as we heard the other night, sometimes between the asking and the receiving can be years. But in the meantime, the Word of God has the power to sustain you, to uphold you, to strengthen you, and to put you, as it were, in a fortress called Christ, where nothing can destroy you, where no weapon formed against you can prosper. And so in a very real way, the Word of God has power to come and to lodge within your spirit and to be like a dynamite charge that's set off when you hear the voice of God. It's a power that can set a drug addict free. It's a power that can change every prostitute into a woman of God. It's a power that can deliver you from alcohol. It's a power that can save you from temptation and give you victory over it. It's a power that can lift you out of depression and put your feet back with a joy in your heart and a song on your lips. It's the power of God. It is Christ Himself coming and doing His work within you. And so we're speaking of a word. All it takes, church, in your time, whatever your need is, all it takes is one word from God Almighty that is received, that is planted and truly received into an open heart in order to radically change your life and to turn you into someone else. I think of the Gadarene demoniac. Jesus came to the tombs and at Gadara, and the man was out of his mind and they couldn't keep him dressed. He was demonized and he was filled with perverted demons of perversion, and he was running around naked and they couldn't keep him chained. He was a wild man. And it all it took was an encounter with Christ to radically change and transform this man. And then once he had received the Word of God into himself, then Jesus said, "Now go back to your family and to your town and tell them all the good things that God has done for you." And so there is a word, there is a change, there is a response, there is an action. If you have encountered Christ, there is an action that's going to correspond. But at the same time, what do you do with that seed that you heard or that you received and it's not yet brought forth fruit? I want to give you the answer to that. Maybe you heard the Word of God sometime past, and you knew that you didn't have a stony heart, and today you would say, "I don't have a heart of stone." Notice if you turn back to Mark 4, chapter 16, that those who had stony ground, when they heard the Word, they received it with gladness. With gladness. That's not a hard heart. You received it with gladness, and yet you forgot. You got sidetracked. The enemy came in, and it got put on a shelf. Now, there's a twofold thing this morning, because we just come through a week of God speaking to this congregation, and so I want you to have a fresh word as to what do you do with that. But then when you leave here today, I want you to go home, and I want you to pull out a piece of paper, and I want you to sit down sometime before you close your eyes and sleep tonight and say, "God, remind me." Or he won't have to. All you'll have to do is sit there, if you're someone who's walked with God, and say, "God, I remember that word that you spoke to me last year, and I've put it on a shelf, and I've done nothing with it, and I've not seen any fruit from it." And I want you to begin to write, and you'll understand a little better in a moment. Don't turn there, but let's talk about this for a moment. Psalm 42, verse 7 says, "Deep calls unto deep." It's a powerful little passage that echoes what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 when he says that spirit speaks to spirit, that the natural man does not receive the things of God, that you have to be born again, that the spiritual man hears the Spirit of God in his inward spirit. So Spirit of God speaks to the spirit of man. Spirit speaks to spirit, and spirit then responds to spirit. You hear God in your spirit. There's seed that is planted. When God speaks into your spirit, it's a very real thing, and seed is deposited. So when the seed of the Word of God comes, that is God's Spirit speaking to your spirit. Again, Jesus called this stony ground. And yet when he interpreted the parable, the issue was not stony ground. He didn't dwell upon the fact that the ground was stony. It was stony for a reason. It's a picture of stone for a reason. It does not represent a hard heart. It represents a lack of something. And the barrenness that is the result is pictured by stone. So in verse 16, again, "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves." This is why they fall away. Look at verse 17. He doesn't say they fall away because of stony ground. Stony ground is a picture of what is there because of the lack of something. Verse 17 says, "And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time." How many of you can say, "I received a word from God, but I didn't endure. I didn't see it come to pass. I didn't learn how to walk in it and get victory." Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you can say, "Yep, that's me. I heard it, and I stumbled. I heard it. There was no root in me," the Lord says. What does he mean by that? This is the issue. And so some of you who love the Lord are sitting there thinking, oh no, is there some indictment coming? I have no root in me. What does he mean by that? Is there some great deficiency in me? No, it's very simple. Root is growth beneath the soil. Now listen closely, because I'm going to tell you what to do with the words that you've received from the Lord. Root is growth beneath the soil. Leaves are growth above the soil. Amen? Just get this picture in your mind. It's very simple. Root is growth beneath the soil. Leaves are growth above the soil in plain view. Let me rephrase it in a different way. Root speaks of hidden life. Root speaks of hidden life. Leaves speak of manifest life, or apparent life, or visible life. Now I'm going to dwell on this for a moment, because this is the key to understanding something great here. Root is growth beneath the soil. Leaves are growth above the soil. Root is hidden life. Leaves are manifest life, or apparent life, and we've not talked about fruit. The trouble with many of us, and I know that I have done this, but I also know the key. I know how to keep it from happening. I know how to keep from losing the Word, and how to come back to it, and how to see it come to pass. The trouble with many of us is that while there appears, now listen, because we're nailing this down. We come to church, we get involved in ministries, we do the work of the Lord, we sing the songs, we do what we should do, we be vocal, as we were told this week, we begin to express our love for God. There's a lot of leaf, there's a lot that's in view, there's a lot of manifest life that everyone else can see. But in the hidden life, there is very little root or secret life beneath the surface. Now, it's going to make a lot more sense in a moment. How much of your life, it's not just about how much you pray, it's also about what you say, and you'll see this. How much of your life is hidden from view? Is all your life just out there on the surface every day, and there is no part of your life with God that's hidden from view? And I'm not speaking of being secretive in the wrong sense, but I want to ask you something. How many of you, don't raise your hand on this, how many of you, has God spoken things to you, and you, like Mary in the Bible, have treasured those things in your heart and not yet spoken them to anyone? Or how many of you are like I have tended to be many times in my life? I know what this is like. Every little revelation you get from God, you think it's supposed to come out your mouth. Every time God shows you something, you can't wait to tell somebody what God showed you. Oh, let me tell you what God showed me today in the Word. Let me tell you what God said. Let me tell you the vision I had. Let me tell you the dream I had. Let me tell you what God has said. And there's all exposed. Everything's always exposed. And there's no hidden life with God. There's no secret life with God. There's no waiting in a secret place with God, because it's not the time of God for some things to be revealed. Again, you'll understand it better as we go along. We always stress the outward works, and they are part of the Christian life. James, that we read in the beginning, says faith without works is dead. And so it's necessary. But listen to me. If all of your life is exposed and all the growth is upward, you're not balanced. If there is no downward growth, you lack root. If you're all leaves and little root, there will be little fruit. Listen. If you're all leaves and little root, there will be very little fruit, because there cannot be fruit without great nourishment that comes from the roots and from the soil. This is very important. Jesus interprets this. These are likewise the ones sown on stony ground. They've heard the Word of God. He has spoken to them, who when they hear the Word immediately receive it with gladness. Believers. And they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. Leaves. manifest life. Root is hidden life. Now, there is a time to speak things, to proclaim things. Just like the Gadarene demoniac, Jesus said, go. Every one of you has a testimony, and God says, now go, tell what I've done. Tell what I've done. And I believe firmly that if God touched your life this week in this place, that you need to be telling somebody. You need to be excited. You need to tell people in the workplace. They might not all receive it, but you need to be reaching out. You need to be excited and wanting others to come with you and to receive what God wants to do in their life as well. There's a part of your life that's supposed to be testimony. Testimony. There is a part that's supposed to be testimony. But everything that God shows you is not for testimony. Every single experience and every single word that we receive is not necessarily something to be exposed. Now, let me explain this a little further so that it's more practical. God speaks to us about a change, about something He wants to do in us. This is what happens. Immediately we blab it. Immediately, listen to me, immediately we stand up and testify. God has told me, now I'm going to walk in strength or whatever. There's something that He has spoken, and now it all of a sudden it becomes an outward testimony before there's any root that's formed. And it's all exposed, and then the first storm that blows into your life, 2 days later, the tree's uprooted because there's no root, and you're not walking in what God spoke to you. And now, not only is there not enough root to produce what God said and what He wants to do in your life, now your testimony is messed up because you kept speaking what God's saying to you, and it hasn't been accomplished yet. How much better? And we'll talk about how in the last minute or two because it's not long. How much better to nourish that word and to let that word be fed and let it truly produce a change in your life so that others look at you and they say, wow, God has done something in him or her, rather than exposing it to everybody before there's been any root formed and before your testimony brings dishonor to the Lord. It needs to be watered, and it needs to find root. And then it will produce a fruit in your life. You see, some of you struggle so hard, and I have great compassion for this. Some of you struggle so hard in your walk with God, and you think that you can change yourselves. You think, this is what happens. You get the word from God, and you think it's done. You get the word from God and you think God is saying, I've spoken, now just be that. And you know that you can't just be that, but you try to just be that, and the next thing you know, you've fallen flat. Instead, it is the word, listen to me, this is important, it is the word of God that is meditated on, that is stored within your heart, it's believed, and it's you operate in faith, and you study it, you believe it, you work it. It is that word that is nurtured and loved. It is the word itself that changes you. God changes you by His word taking root and growing inside of you and becoming so real that it produces a change. You don't produce it at all. You can't produce it, but He can. So God's calling you to a deeper experience in maturity with the words that you have heard. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Don't you just love the way Pastor Tim backed me up with his several closings? Second Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to see something here. Paul tells of an experience that happened to him 14 years before. And he tells it as though, I mean, he's being humble. It's clear in the Word of God that it's about himself. But just listen to this. I don't believe there's a person in this place, including myself, that's like this. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ, speaking of himself because he doesn't want to boast. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now I'm just going to tell you, we're not given all the details here. I don't believe Paul had spoken of this to hardly a soul, if any, for 14 years before he penned this. And if he had, just imagine all the people in the church saying, Paul, tell us about it. Tell us about it. And Paul saying, no, I saw things that it's not lawful for a man to utter. How many of us, if God opened the heavens this morning and we got a revelation of Christ that was so profound, no man had ever seen it before, and God said, not a word. Well, you know, I had this vision. It was so awesome, but I can't tell you about it. But I can give you a few hints because, oh, it was so amazing. We would have to tell it. But you see, there's a hidden life here. There were a lot of things that Paul spoke and said, God told me this. God told me this. God has given me directions for you. God sent me here. God sent me there. God did all of these things. But there was a hidden life with God that he never gave the details of to a living soul. He had a hidden life with God. There was a deep, deep spiritual root. And when there is a deep spiritual root, listen, there is a strength and there is a stability and there is also the outward leaves and there is inevitably great fruit as in Paul's life. We want a ministry like Paul. We have to have a hidden root like Paul. If we want Paul's character and conduct in our lives, we have to have his hidden life. If we want his power, we must have his secret experience. I don't know if you remember the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was sick and the Lord healed him. He was so filled with gratitude to the Lord. The Lord healed him and extended his life. Well, they heard about it over in enemy territory, over in Babylon. And things being as they are today, with political things being as they are today, it was no different back then. Babylon heard about the healing of King Hezekiah by God. And they sent messengers from Babylon to Israel, to King Hezekiah, with a letter of congratulations and with a present for him. Did Hezekiah say, yes, God healed me and I give him all the glory? You see, there is an outward testimony that's not supposed to be hidden. Go and tell all the good things that God has done for you. That's your testimony. Did Hezekiah do that? No. Hezekiah, I don't know. The Word doesn't tell us. Maybe he was just felt, wow, God healed me and I'm the king. I am so important. Let me just kind of show this off. Enemy messengers came and what did he do? He took them through the palace. He showed them all of the treasures. There was not one secret thing that he didn't show them and reveal to them. Just totally caught up with wanting to show them. God sent Isaiah to him, and Isaiah said, because you have done this, everything that you showed will be taken away to Babylon and will be Babylon's. I want to just be so practical here as we close. God spoke. I don't know what He spoke to each one of you as individuals. I know what He spoke to us as a church, and I know what He spoke through Pastor Tim to me and Maggie. Practical things, godly things, things that we will cherish and go forward with and act upon. But how do you act upon something that He spoke to you Wednesday or Thursday night or last Sunday if you go home and it's just all out of view, it's forgotten? How do you walk in it? Is it just laying there on top of the soil? And the soil now looks like stone because there's no root. There's no hidden life. I'm giving you one of the most important things in your walk with God. No hidden life, no fruit. It's that simple. No hidden life, no root, no fruit. No hidden life, the word, the seed will not come forth, and there will be no harvest. No hidden word, no hidden life, no corresponding actions. Or if there are corresponding actions, they will be like a flash in the pan and they'll be over and be forgotten within a few days. No hidden life, no root, mountaintop, and then the pit of the valley with no awareness of Christ when you're there. So how am I going to be practical? See, there's no altar call except this morning. We always issue an altar call if there's someone who does not know Christ and wants to come forward and receive Christ and be born again. But there's no altar call for you to come forward this morning. We're going to stand in a moment. I tell you what, praise team, whoever's going to... Well, that was me, wasn't it? Forget it. No. I miss the drums when they're not here, and I miss Carolyn on the piano. I want you to stand, please. Some of you probably don't like to do what I'm about to share with you. And I'm not saying that it has to be a legalistic thing that you do every day, that you have to journal all the time. But I'm going to ask this congregation to do something. If God spoke to you this week, or if you go home and He reminds you of something He spoke to you in the past, and you've put it on the shelf, this is what you do. First, you write it down. You write it down. Our God is a writing God. The Holy Spirit saw fit to write everything down for us. And when you write something and you see it and you read it, you just get it even deeper in your spirit. You write it down. You write down. I have sat and I have written down everything that God spoke to me and to us and to this church through Pastor Tim Wednesday and Thursday night. It's all written down to act upon. And if I hadn't, I'd have probably forgotten half of it by now. As excited as I was, write down what God has spoken to you. And it is important. This isn't just me wanting to give you a little lesson to do. This has to do with your life in Christ. Write down what God has spoken to you. And then take time alone with God. Certainly you should have prayer time with God. You should have time in His Word anyway. But in that time, let me tell you something, the times that I have missed God and gotten away from some promise that He made, or began to feel that it was slipping away, began to feel that, okay, God's promise is not true, it's not coming to pass, or God, did you really speak this to me 10 years ago, or did you really say this last week, or whatever. It's when I go and I sit in His presence and I'm hidden with Christ, that it floods back in, and I think on what He said, and if it was from God, it always bears witness again. And it rises up within you, and you say, I can't escape it. I know God spoke it to me. And when He speaks it to you, you pray over it, and you ask Him to show you what you're to do. And you get in the Word of God, and you continue to study whatever aspect of that thing is in the Word of God. Or if it's an area of weakness in your life, you say, God, I can't change myself, but I'm going to feed on Your Word. And this thing that You spoke to me, I ask You to change my heart and make it so that it comes to pass. It changes me from the inside out. Don't forget the seed that was planted It is planted, it is spoken by the very mouth of Jesus Christ, and He didn't speak it for us to cast it aside and have stony ground and no root. It's like the king, it's like the president coming and saying, here, I'm giving you the national treasure, and we stick it in a closet and forget about it. His word is more important. What He speaks to your heart has to do with everything in your future. Every word that He speaks to you has something to do with your destination in Christ and what He wants to do. Go back now. Go back now, this morning, tonight. Find, remember, what did He speak to you? How are you going to act upon it? Think on it every day. Don't forget it. Write it down. Put it in your Bible. Look at it. And cherish it. And water it with prayer and with the Word and say, Jesus, teach me. Help me to do it. Act upon it in faith. Amen? That's what I'm going to do. If there is anyone who does not know the Lord and you want to receive Christ as Savior, I'm going to pray a closing prayer, and then you just come down front and talk to me, and I'll pray with you, and you ask the Lord into your heart. Amen? Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for what You have been doing in our midst. We thank You for the things that You have spoken to us, Lord, that we're going to walk in and that we're going to act upon, Lord. I thank You for the words that were spoken to individuals in this congregation. Now, Lord, we don't want to be bad soil. Oh, God, let each person here say, Lord, let me be good soil. Let it sink. Let that seed go down deep. Lord, water it by Your Spirit. And let me receive Your Word more and more that it would build and grow within me, Lord. And, Lord, let me have a hidden life with You. A hidden life. Lord, let me not expose the things that You speak to me personally until it's time so that my tree's not blown over and the roots exposed and then it all dies. The whole thing that You spoke. Lord, let it be watered. Let the roots go down deep and produce fruit in the lives of Your people. Lord, I'm so excited about what You're going to do. In this congregation, I can hardly stand it, but Lord, I don't want to walk tomorrow or the next day and forget it. I want it to be nurtured, and I want to act upon it, Lord, and I want us all to do that. And I thank You, Lord. Be glorified in every life here today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.